calls me back about 10 minutes later. He's like, yeah, Herman wants to meet with you. I said, you're kidding. He's like, no, he wants to meet with you. He said, but he's got a hard out. He wants to meet with you at 6 o'clock tonight, but he's got a hard out at 6:30. And I'm like, all right, yeah. So I actually went to his office and we sat and talked literally for about 2.5 hours. Finally, I'm like, Herman, I thought you had to leave at 6:30. He's like, oh man. He goes, I tell that to everybody. He goes, I just want to make sure. He goes, I don't get stuck in for anything longer than a half an hour.
We Need to Be Doing That, a podcast that combines sports, social media content, and life. I'm Jonah Ballow.
I'm Keith Steckler.
I'm Elliot Gerard.
We Need to Be Doing That is a Heartland Group production.
Come on. We need to be doing that.
This one's going to be fun. We often debate the what-ifs in sports. You know, what if the guy got drafted one pick higher? How would that have changed the trajectory of his career? Or what if a trade actually took place? So, on the podcast today, we're joined by John and Grady, co-founders of Legacy Fantasy Sports. And Legacy Fantasy Sports allows users to build rosters with current players as well as past players, which is very cool. Co-founded by Herman Moore, former Detroit Lion. Want to understand how you guys know him, because I'm seeing both of you. I don't think either of you put up 60 touchdowns in the league. So I'm curious to figure out how you guys know him. And also backed by former University of Oklahoma football coach Bob Stoops and Cleveland Cavaliers co-owner Gary Gilbert. That's a mouthful. Guys, welcome. Thanks for joining us. Help us understand how this whole thing started.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Actually, we started it probably around 2012, 2013, when DraftKings became popular and FanDuel was in the space. You know, I've always had the argument with my dad, actually, that it goes back from the time that I was a kid, and it didn't matter whatever the sport was. It was basically, you know, no matter who I posted as the best player in any sport, my dad would always say, oh, no, he's not nearly as good as, you know, Bob Feller in baseball or Sandy Koufax or Jim Brown or whoever it was. So that's where the kind of the genesis of the game started. From there, you know, it's basically just trying to figure out, I'm an attorney by trade. So trying to figure out exactly how to prove to my dad that he was wrong. Right. That's kind of where everybody is when they're a kid. They always try to prove that their father's wrong. And that's kind of where we started.
And then you marry that with, you know, I had mentioned earlier, Grady and I have been friends for 30 years, obviously. We're both huge sports fans. And then just by sheer happenstance, right when we decide that we're going to fully go full steam into this, obviously I had the resources. I was coming off the sale of my previous company, and then the pandemic hits, right? So it's one of these situations where we're sitting there and we're going, you know something? We might be onto something here if we can create something where we don't need live games. So we're probably the only company out there that would benefit from a sports shutdown again. Right. So, I mean, when we hear, you know, I was reading articles yesterday and saw some articles yesterday about, you know, China starting to lock down and stuff again. And I was like, you know, a couple shutdowns and, you know, a few baseball games here and there, or, you know, football season gets pushed back a little bit, wouldn't hurt Legacy Fantasy Sports. So that's kind of, you know, it was kind of just by happenstance that all came together at the same time and it fit in. And we decided to take it from a concept and turn it into a real life product.
And because you're not using live games, can you just explain how it works?
Sure. Actually, it's just, we're partnered with Stats, which is the official data keeper for all the major sports, right? So they keep all the play-by-play for every single sport and every single game. And how we do it is we have a patent-pending process that uses algorithms to pull. So, for example, Barry Sanders has a catalog of, let's say, 500 plays in his career, right? It pulls that catalog, individual plays, to create a full game. And it's you know, everybody suggests that it's a simulation, but it's actually not. It's actually the plays throughout his career, the individual plays. And then we use another algorithm that monitors the play as it goes along to make sure that it's, you know, the one simulation that does occur is it creates a game atmosphere where you know, the game is anywhere between 2 hours and 45 minutes to 3 hours and 15 minutes. It's not an instantaneous, you know, you get 20 plays immediately pulled from that random algorithm. So then you can use that, the historical players, to play during live competitions too. So you can have a lineup that actually includes Patrick Mahomes and Barry Sanders or LaDainian Tomlinson, Calvin Johnson, you know, some of the greatest players in history together, which is really cool. We also have one other innovation too, is we have substitutions that you can use in game. So, you know, for example, in a live game, if you have a player that goes down halfway through the NFL game or the NBA game, you can pull that player out and substitute him with another live player.
Now, is there any adjustments for how the current game is being played? Because I think a lot of part of the argument about who's better from the decades is the game was different back then, whether we're talking football or basketball. Is there any adjustments to how the current game is being played?
Actually, no. The unfortunate part of it is you have to, you know, in order to be true to the statistics, you have to make sure that the careers, that it mirrors the history of the player. So that's the one thing that we also have in the game is we have what's called a recalibration algorithm that makes sure that if, for example, Barry Sanders, you know, number of games that he plays in our platform mirrors what he's done historically, right? So if he has a number of contests that are subpar for him, we have a recalibration algorithm that makes sure that he gets back up to his normal mean. So to answer your question a long-winded way, no, unfortunately don't. It does mirror their historical play though. So, you know, when you pick Barry Sanders, you're going to get his gameplay.
Who's the player that people are typically picking from years past? Who's the most prominent one?
Locally, it's Calvin Johnson, right?
Okay. And
we actually ran when we were just in kind of a soft launch beta testing kind of mode. We actually ran a promotion right before the Super Bowl, obviously with Stafford starting as the quarterback for the Rams and mirroring that up with being able to have Calvin Johnson on your roster. That was actually pretty popular. So we're hopefully, you know, as we get into the football season, this coming up season, hopefully we'll see similar things where people kind of want to take, as Grady said, you can play a full live game if you want, like any other platform. You can do a hybrid lineup of live and legacy, or you can do an actual all legacy, which gives us the ability, you know, we could be playing a game right now with you guys without there being any live football games.
I noticed in the press release and sort of the information about the platform that you made a note to say that it's not a gambling platform. And as the resident degenerate in the Heartland group, I have to voice my opinion here. But no, is that on the roadmap at all where you could kind of challenge friends for some dollar amounts or bets? Is that going to be something in the future you guys consider?
Sure. Yeah, sure. Go ahead, John.
No, so everything's on the table. One of the reasons we consciously decided, you know, the market, and maybe, you know, Jonah, the market is saturated. We did originally decide or started with the understanding or the want to go down the betting route. Then as Grady said, we're both attorneys actually, and we started looking into the regulation and everything that goes into this. We figured with what we were doing and how we were going to engage fans and do it, that we were better off to go with a different model. And that's why we went with the subscription model. Now, with that being said, we're also business guys, right? And mm-hmm. and we didn't do this out of the goodness of our heart. But as Grady was talking about the algorithms and the different things, our platform, and we have several legal reasoned opinions on this point, our platform is fully integrated and UIGEA compliant. So if somebody else out there, and that's not saying we're not going to do it at some point, but if somebody else out there wants to implement it into a betting and or gambling platform, they could do it immediately.
Yeah, we've already built the system. You know, although it's not front facing, we built the system with the coding and everything else to allow us to operate exactly like FanDuel and DraftKings have. So, wow. So for the degenerates like yourself, you know, sit and wait, you'll be able to do it in a short period of time.
And let's be realistic, guys. Hey, half the betting that goes on, more than actually probably what, 3/4 of the betting that goes on in this world is between guys like us sitting around over friendly bets, or even if it's cash, it's not through a site like FanDuel or DraftKings or any of these other sites, right?
Right.
So people are probably still going to utilize the platform in that way. And there is some third-party applications now too that are coming out that potentially we could partner with that would allow us to, where we could bet in between ourselves as opposed to joining a contest like through a FanDuel or a DraftKings.
Right. And now for the attorney disclaimer, not that we're endorsing that right now.
I'll say it. I'm endorsing it. No, I think that the head-to-head between friends, I mean, listen, I've had almost fist fights over, you know, no, this guy is better than this guy. This is, you know, this era, you can't compare to this era. The competition between, well, we see it all the time. I mean, nobody's ever going to settle the debate really between Jordan and LeBron, probably as the number one or all-time best player in the NBA history. Now, the other extension I wanted to talk to you guys about would be editorial, because that sort of drips into an interesting space as well when, you know, these articles are written or commentaries provided on every sports channel about comparing athletes in different eras and times. Is there some extension to that to maybe provide a little bit of statistical information to back what sort of the commentary, or listen, if you grew up in the 80s, you're going to have sort of a bias to that era. Is there an extension you guys have planning for that?
Yeah. So that is going to be a phase three. So we're in phase three right now. So that'll be a phase three, phase four launch. But one of the cool features right now on the platform, hopefully you guys have an opportunity to get on there soon if you haven't gotten on there yet. When you do, we've almost taken away the need to fully do research on a third party site. If you tap on the image and or if there isn't an image, if you tap on the legacy logo, it actually pulls up that and that player's entire career stats, as well as individual game career stats. So you can actually make your decision and look right, make your decision there without having to leave the site to go somewhere else to research or do something like that. But yeah, one of the things that we're looking to do is obviously partner with, hopefully with teams, hopefully with individual players themselves. Obviously Herman's a partner. We can give you a funny story on that if you guys want.
Yeah.
It's not a Herman story. It's more of a Detroit Lions story. The first time we saw, we all met here in Detroit to go over to actually see the app work the way we anticipated it working. And we had drafted Herman and put him into our lineup. And it was comical as all, you know what, because he had, I believe, in the course of the game, I think he had four different. Now, keep in mind, it pulls random individual plays from his career. Mm-hmm. So he had four or five different quarterbacks that were passing to him just in that one fantasy game.
That is so his career.
Yeah. So, again, that's not a knock on him because he was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, but no,
it's did he have PTSD? Was he having bad memories? Like, no, not another.
Actually, what was kind of funny about it is he said, you know, this is actually really like a real game. I think I might have had one or two games in my history.
There's your quote for the site. That's the best review you could have.
How did the connection to him happen? Because we are always talking about what guys and men and women are doing once their playing days are over. So sounds like he's listed as a co-founder. So how'd that connection happen and what's he been up to?
Well, it's funny. He actually right now he has a digital marketing company. He's very entrepreneurial. So he's got a number of businesses that he's got going right now. And that's kind of his primary focus, obviously, is his current businesses. But the funny story about meeting him is I was actually involved in another project. It's a different project altogether from sports. And I was talking with a guy that was involved in that project about fantasy sports. And, you know, this is the most unassuming guy you'd ever come across in your life, you know, just, you know, really, you know, down to earth guy. And he's like, you know, I might have somebody that might be interested in this. And I said, oh, really? Who's that? You know, I'm not thinking anything, you know, associated with any professional athlete or anything like that. And yeah. He says, you know, his name's Herman. He used to play for the Lions. I said, Herman Moore? He's like, yeah, that's Herman Moore. Yeah. I said, okay. You know, I'm thinking, all right, you know, this guy's somebody who back in like 1993, he was standing outside the stadium and got his signature or something, right? And Herman's like, you know, being a nice guy that he is, Herman's like, hey man, anytime you need anything, just let me know, you know, something like that. But so he calls me back about 10 minutes later. He's like, yeah, Herman wants to meet with you. And I said, you're kidding. He's like, no, he wants to meet with you. He said, but he's got a hard out. He wants to meet with you at 6 o'clock tonight, but he's got a hard out at 6:30. And I'm like, all right, yeah. So I actually went to his office. And we sat and talked literally for about two and a half hours. Finally, I'm like, Herman, you know, I thought you had to leave at 6:30. He's like, oh man. He goes, I tell that to everybody. He goes, I just want to make sure. He goes, I don't get stuck for anything longer than a half an hour. So that was the initial meeting that I had with them. You know, I love the idea, obviously. And that's kind of the you know, review that we get from a lot of former players we've talked to that are like, yeah, you know, it's actually a really cool idea. And I think a lot of it is their own nostalgia, right? Because a lot of these players, you know, all of them don't have an opportunity to play in their sport because they're playing the competition, right? So, and then by the time they're done, they're not involved in the fantasy play at all. So I think that's kind of where the catch comes from each one of these players is that they all love the idea of, hey, man, I'm back in the game again. So, you know.
Yeah, we have the only platform Calvin Ridley can play on.
No suspensions?
Right? No suspensions in the legacy fantasy sports.
They don't take that into account? You know, we've on this podcast, and obviously we started our own company, and I always find it interesting of the origin stories or how it came about. We've gotten a little glimpse into your guys' start into this business. But in general, what are some of the challenges you face? What are some of, you know, if there's people out there listening that are either have an idea for a company and would like to start their own, you know, I think we're in an interesting time, an interesting era in this country where there are a lot of people reevaluating, you mentioned the pandemic, reevaluating their careers and what means most to them as they move forward and starting maybe something that they've always thought about, but never did. And for us, it was like getting that push in the back to really make the leap and start our own company. And we've been more than content with where we landed. It's been exceptional so far. So for you guys and anybody out there listening, advice you would have, some of the pitfalls, things that you've done that maybe you would go back and change. What are some of the challenges that you've faced so far in starting your own company?
You know, I wouldn't necessarily say I'd go back and change anything because I'm a firm believer. I've been, as I said before, I've been blessed in one respect that I've had one exit so far. But in the same token, I think you just have to continue to plug away. You're going to hear no, and I'm sure you guys have heard this 1,000 times, just as much as anybody else, right? You're going to hear no 99.9% of time from everybody. You have to have that fortitude and just keep sticking with it. I know it probably sounds a lot cliche, but believe me, Grady and I talk, God, I love the guy, but I'm sick of talking to him half the time. You know, it's like, he actually just came up from the basement where he spent the night. So, but no, I mean, you just got to keep, you have to have that end, know what your end goal is and just keep working towards that with all those no's intermingled in between there, right? There's gonna be obstacles, but you just got to keep moving forward.
One of the things too I think is a common theme of all entrepreneurs is you have to have a passion for what you do, right? I'm assuming every one of you guys are passionate about you know, the podcast and the things that you present to your audience, but you know, you look at it and you have to understand what your passion is too, and as John said, you have to keep a focus because you are going to get people to say no. You're going to get people that are the people that will encourage you, but they'll also in the same breath tell you, well, yeah, that's a great idea, but, you know, and you gotta just avoid the second half of that response. You know, that's a great idea. You just got to keep that in your head and understand, okay, there's a way to get this done. I think that's part of the you know, benefit that John and I have is we're both very analytical people, right? I mean, as an attorney, that's kind of an occupational hazard for a lot of situations. But, you know, we've always, between him and I, have always encouraged each other to stay focused and make sure that we keep the goal in mind. And that's kind of I think that's the theme that everybody needs to understand when you're an entrepreneur is keep the goal in mind and keep your theme consistent with your passion.
And don't be afraid to admit what your weaknesses are, right? I know what mine are. And I think that's one of the things we've been able to do. You know, Herman brings a certain skill set. Grady does. I do. Our other partners that we have, obviously, each one, you know, we kind of have a little idea of what we need each one to do for ultimately for us to be successful. And I think that's a huge part of it, too, is kind of stay on track with that and admit when you don't know something as well.
I got a quick question because I see behind you, you've got a Michigan
party.
So are you really big into Winning Time?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Are you really big into that new show Winning Time on HBO?
I don't think I've seen it. No, I haven't seen it. I love that show, man.
Yeah, like I think it's such a unique show. I mean, the NBA
Jerry West would disagree.
Jerry West is suing him, like all this stuff. But like, it captures a time. It's very like it almost to me. It kind of reminds me of if you took The Last Dance and you took Any Given Sunday and you meshed the two together, because it's like they admit it's not totally true, but it is capturing a time, and it captures an essence. Really well. And I think that that's going to happen more and more. I feel like there's going to be more shows like that because people want to hear about these eras. Anyway, sorry. Go on.
No, absolutely. I think you're 100% spot on. I mean, it's funny because I read an article about that with Jerry West, you know, suing them, and his lawyer basically said, well, you know, there's a lot of people out there that would believe that this is 100% true. And it's funny because then they did some more research and they said, well, yeah, it's because a lot of it is 100% true. Right? You know, he was an a-hole to a lot of people, and he was a miserable person in real life in a lot of ways. But you know, those kinds of shows, the drama and the you know, kind of marrying the reality with the drama is makes for the best, you know, TV, in my opinion. I love that show, man. I got hooked on it about the third episode. I binge watched like four episodes in a row, and now I can't wait. You know, every Sunday night at 9.
I think you bring up an important point though, right? The nostalgic part of sports. And it's actually funny because we're developing cricket right now, so we can launch in India as well. Nice. And it's the one of the largest or the second most watched TV program in India last year. Guess what it was?
A drama show about cricket.
It was an historical NBA game.
Oh,
yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. So it's the nostalgia and that's one of the things obviously that we wanted to, you know, and working with Herman, Grady kind of touched on it too. You know, you get these athletes that no longer have the following, or, you know, teams bring them back for an autograph day or something, kind of makes them relevant again, gives them a little bit of something to get excited about.
But it makes the fans relevant again, because honestly, like a lot, like, I watched that, and you know, that's a little bit before my era. Like the Last Dance is, you know, more, but like it makes me like miss that old era. Like that, I feel like the game is kind of passed me by in some ways now. Like it doesn't feel the same way as it was back then.
Yeah, you're becoming old man. Get off my lawn.
Exactly,
Elliot. I can confirm the game has definitely passed you by.
Yes.
Listen, we got to talk some Lions. Are you guys all in on Dan Campbell? Like, is this going to be a turning point?
Love the guy. I love him.
Would we say that the Lions fan base is the most tortured fan base? I mean, in terms of just lack of success, but not even getting kind of close to it. It's got to be difficult being a Lions fan, right?
Listen, is there any more perfect example of the fact that we have a draft here in 3 days and we have the second pick and it's going to be the worst draft? One of the worst drafts, and you know, there's no stud quarterback. Right. There's nothing.
Maybe that's a good thing though. What's that again? Sorry.
I said that goes to all Detroit sports. So I mean, the NHL, we had the worst record for 3 years in a row, and on one single draft, we never got the top pick. You know, it goes to the last one goes to the New York Rangers, who are actually in the friggin' playoffs, you know, and they end up getting the pick ahead of us. That's the Lions, and that's Detroit sports luck in a lot of ways.
And New York sports is that much better. I'm a Jets, Knicks, and Mets fan, so.
Well, you're tortured somewhat, right, too.
Right, yeah, right. Tortured somewhat.
It's a different torture. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
The Lions are just bad. Yeah. I don't know how Grady might be all about the ankle biting and smashing kneecaps, but
right. Well, yeah, this is the other thing too. You know, and I don't know if this is true with all fans who have miserable teams, but the Lions have taught, you know, they taught me from an early age, you better have a secondary team, right? So secondary NFL team. We do have one other innovation that is really cool too, which is for the general sports fan who loves all sports, right? So we have it's called a triathlon game, which allows you to pick not only players in the NFL, but you can pick three sports, right? So we have in your same lineup. So you can have three baseball players, three NFL players, and three NBA players all in the same lineup. And the scores accumulate in total. And you can play that head-to-head and play it in multiplayer games as well as leagues too. So a lot of good innovations on the platform.
That's super interesting. I mean, I know we go back to the betting, but that's what I've appreciated the most out of the betting aspect is I could take some NFL guys and put them on a card with some basketball guys. So that's a really cool innovation. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah, we like it for sure.
It's no, yeah. And I mean, I guess the last point too, kind of to that point, you know, as I said earlier, the market's so saturated with the betting and the gambling side of it. We just figured at this point in time, you know, we're a 12 plus app in the App Store and in the Google Play Store, which separates us, you know, immensely. And then it was easy when we approached Coach Stoops and some of the other partners, obviously, to get on board with what they're doing and, you know, what they stand for too, to get behind it. So we're going to have some cool things. Coach Stoops, I know, is going to be launching some social media stuff here within the next week or two, touting his involvement in the app as well. So we got a lot of cool things going on.
That's exciting.
So don't blame us when you have a head-to-head against a 13-year-old, you get your hand handed to you, right?
Just assume it will be. The game has passed us by.
Passed us by.
Always.
Well, that's why you get to use the older guys. Those ones haven't passed you by. It's bringing you back here.
Right.
Bringing you back to your historical.
That's right.
I love it. Where can people learn more about the company and check you guys out? Where would you like to send people to?
So we're on both the Apple iOS App Store and Google Play. And we've had a few articles published recently, obviously, relating to the platform itself. And hopefully you guys will be spreading the word for us too.
That's a wrap for this week. Thanks for listening to the We Need to Be Doing That podcast. Visit weneedtobedoingthat.com for more episodes and contact information.